Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, joined by the full panel here, almost. We have Will, hello.
Hey, guys.
And you're back after quite a while of a hiatus because of work?
Not really. I was back like 2 weeks ago and then I missed again.
Yeah. You're pulling a mock. We don't like it. Anyways, we also have Bradley. Hello, Bradley.
Yeah, hey, guys.
And we have Mr. Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
So we're going to talk about the Division 2 today. Will's basically beat the game. Somewhat, right?
Halfway,
all the way, 1 inch. and then Dan, you said Bradley said you're level 8 or so on the game.
Yeah, I have conquered one small area of the game.
Cool. And then Dan, how far are you?
I actually, I just finished 30, and I'm on, I guess, what would be considered, like, the second half of the game.
Nice. Okay, cool. So you guys definitely at least more than an inch into the game. And cool. So let's talk about the Division 2 coming up right now. All right, so the Division 2 came out a couple weeks ago now, and we assigned basically almost every team member that we have on the game to review it. So let's see what you guys got. Why don't we start, Brad? What are your initial thoughts on the game?
I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. I'd never played Division 1. I heard so many bad things. It was one of the games I skipped, and I'm kind of glad I picked this one up.
Awesome, yeah. And what about you, Will?
Definitely an improvement from the first game. They've added a lot of new content, and they're making the game a lot more enjoyable.
Okay, cool. And now, what about you, Daniel?
I'm loving it, in all honesty. I was a big fan of the first one. Kind of fell off of it towards the end, and then they did a huge patch, so played it again. And then that patch is basically where they started on Division 2, so it's gone nowhere but up. So I'm loving it.
Sweet. Okay, cool. So, I haven't played the game. I haven't even played Division 1, honestly. So, just tell me a little bit about what the game is and what you do in the game. I guess
where to start.
Yeah, where to start. Yeah.
I guess. You take place as a Division agent. I can't remember. I think you start off the first game ended, so you're in New York, and then the first mission pretty much transitions you straight to Washington, D.C. And then all the missions there are basically helping the community, helping the division get back up on its feet, upgrading your base camp, and then locating the president.
So, go ahead.
What the division is, if you're unaware of what it is basically it's a group of sleeper agents that work as like regular everyday people. And then what happens is if there's a collapse of society, these people are activated to kind of reinstate law and order within high government places, which is why this one takes place in Washington.
Okay, cool. So is it a first-person shooter or a third-person shooter or what?
It is a third-person cover-based shooter. So kind of think Gears of War, but a little bit more just like regular modern-day weapons. You don't have anything crazy like huge-ass Nasher shotguns that can cut somebody in half. It's all modern, regular weaponry.
Is that like in the roadmap DLCs? Like they're going to release a fucking shotgun that cuts you in half? Because that'd be kind of cool.
I doubt it. They do have for the specializations, which is when you hit level 30, you get to pick a specialization, which comes with a special weapon. So those come with a 50 cal sniper rifle, a grenade launcher, and a crossbow that takes explosive bolts. But that is like the craziest top tier level equipment. Other than that, you're running around with like M4s and, you know, pistols, those kind of things.
Cool. It's like standard James Bond weapons.
Yeah.
More standard military weapons. You still have your AKs, you have your MP4s.
So it's like the it's like the real names for the guns, and it's not just some made up bullshit name for the same gun that everyone calls something else, like in Apex.
You've got your FAMAS, your RPK, your MP9. Yeah, they're all based on real weapon systems within real life.
Cool. I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm a Canadian. We're not allowed to have guns.
Right?
The game plays off of... you can play it single, solo. You can play it two-player. You can play it three. You can play it four. But it's basically a squad-based game. I find the more people you have, the harder difficulty the game throws at you.
Oh, really? So...
Yep.
I'm trying to think of another game that was like that, where... If you play it solo, it's easier. It's a bit easier because obviously you're by yourself. But as soon as you add more players, wasn't Destiny like that?
I don't think so. Destiny kind of always had that curve. Like you couldn't go into a raid and do it solo. Well, there are those couple people that found those tricks, but yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So I mean, I saw the Division 2 trailer and I saw everyone go ugh. Because obviously the first one left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and most of the player base left before they fixed all the issues. So, yeah, I'm actually quite curious to hear how you guys find the game. So, in the beginning of the game, Will, was it kind of slow getting off, or...?
Not really. Like, the first mission literally brings you straight into getting access to the White House, and it's being sieged by one of the gangs.
It's like mission one is like... Okay, get the president down to the secure bunker?
No, I don't want to spoil the game too much, but basically the president has been AFK. He's been missing, presumed dead, for a while. No one's running the country.
How very game review to use the word AFK instead of MIA.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. cool, so... what about you, Dan? What are your experiences so far, like kind of in the beginning of the game or the game content?
I find when it comes to like the curve of gaining experience and leveling up and everything else is done really, really well. I was talking about it with Bradley. I found from like level 1 to level 24, 25, as long as you're doing the main missions and a couple of story, like side missions, it curves really nicely through the first like, I'd say 40 hours of the game. And then it slows down a little bit and you find yourself kind of picking up odd missions just to get to that 30. But the only reason I felt the grind there was just because I was trying to get it out for this podcast, because I wanted to be able to say something about the end game. And so I was trying to force it. But if you're just playing naturally, it's got a really nice progression curve.
Don't force it. I mean, one inch, right? but yeah, no, that's good that it has a kind of a nice... campaign feel to it. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, I really like the Dark Zone.
The campaign sounds like it's a lot of fun. So Bradley, you have the least amount of experience playing the game. Will said to me earlier today that he's like level 28 or something, and then there's something once you get to level 30 that's a level cap, and then there's something after that. We'll get into that in a little bit, but what's your experiences so far with the game?
So I've play the downtown east area I kind of did a lot of the side missions, went on all the side quests, the adventures, and helping random people out. I've even jumped into people's games. There is a feature where you can call for help, and then other people can come join your lobby and help you do the mission. I've had a lot of fun with it. I've really enjoyed it. I felt like there was enough to do that kept me busy, and if I was running to find something, I would stumble across something else and be like, hey, this is cool, I'm gonna randomly kill this guy or fight this boss or get this item. And I enjoyed just looting at times, just going on adventures trying to get food, water, and random supplies for the theater district.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So Will and Dan, you're quite far too. What's the voice of experience in this game? What are your thoughts kind of mid game, and kind of where do you see yourselves going, I guess?
Well, Daniel's ahead of me, but for me, it's definitely just getting to 30 and getting my specialization class.
Yeah, now that I'm 30, it's kind of just fine tuning your equipment and getting the skills dialed in that you really want, so that you've got that like god tier setup that you want. Like for me, everyone uses different skills because there's 8 different skills that you have in the game. Like there's a pulse, a firefly, a turret,
drone,
a little drone,
the hive,
shield, hive. Yep. So like I use the hive and I use the chem launcher with a healing. I play more of kind of like a support guy. So I'm kind of just trying to dial in and like reduce my cooldowns so that I can spam my heals more often. Whereas somebody like, I don't know how Bradley or Will plays, but maybe they play the heavy armor guy. So they want a shit ton of armor on their character and they want to be able to use their shield and get up in somebody's face with a shotgun. So it's really about fine tuning your play style once you get to the higher levels.
Yeah, I'm all about rocking an assault rifle and a sniper, and then I have the hive with the revive upgrade, and then the turret with the flamethrower.
Very nice.
So I was saying to Will earlier, because he said once you get to level 30, it's all about increasing. He said another level of some variety, and the first thing I thought of was Destiny's light level stupid shit, but apparently it's not like that at all.
It is a little bit, because once you hit that level 30, then you switch over to gear score. But there's already people running around maximum 450 gear score. So it's not as bad as it was in Destiny. And in Destiny, you're relying on your RNG. You go out and you solo, you know, 3 missions, and you might get one piece of gear that increases. In Division 2, when you get to that high level tier, you're dropping crazy levels of equipment like constantly. Like I'm getting yellow gear, which is your high end, which I guess would be like your legendary or whatever. You get 5, 6, 7, 8 pieces of that just doing a basic mission. So you don't even have to go out and do the high crazy level things. As long as you're playing, the game rewards you and makes it easy for you to keep increasing that gear score.
You also get a gear that's like even above your level if you do it on a higher difficulty.
Yep.
So we went back and replayed another mission for a friend who just started the game, and he's like level 5, where I think up this time I was like 18. So we decided to do it on normal. We didn't really think of how much the difficulty would have gone up. So there's just 3 of us. And basically Mark and I carried him through because he was dead pretty much most of the mission. Literally, it was nothing but purple and gold enemies.
Yeah, and they drop crazy, crazy shit. The cool thing, too, is if you have somebody that's a lower level than you, there's a normalization system within Division 2. So all of their gear will scale up to where everyone else is in the party. So if you're a level 15 playing with a level 20, you might notice a little bit of a damage. Like you're going to feel a little squishy yourself, but your weapons will do just as much damage as everyone else.
Yeah, I really like that. So you can carry friends around and help them through levels and stuff like that. But basically, like you said, this game is all about cover. You can't stand there and expect to take a whole bunch, like get a couple shot, like a lot of shots off, but not take damage.
I mean,
yeah, no, for sure.
As with any game, really.
Yeah, but it's not like, for example, like Call of Duty. Like if you run out into a lane, you might be able to get, you know, 3 or 4 shots off on somebody. Whereas in here, there's people mounted with light machine guns and flamethrowers and everything else, and they'll burst you down so quick that even poking your head out can be dangerous.
Don't forget the snipers.
Yes, I fucking hate the outcast snipers, the one with
the green light.
They blind you, and then they also have the crossbow bolts that'll stick in you, and it almost nukes me one hit. So stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, in a good way. Like, I'm not hating on it. It's part of the game, but...
It's just if you don't want to have your head up too long.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Is there a multiplayer option on this game?
In what sense? It's all multiplayer, really.
Like, in the sense of like PvP? A PvP arena-based thing, yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is. I haven't gotten there. But also, like I was mentioning before, the Dark Zone... It's not PvP based per se, but it's a place where you can go and get really good loot, but you can run into other teams.
Oh, so it's like Sea of Thieves multiplayer where you're doing good and then someone comes and fucks you up and takes all your shit?
Basically, you die there, you drop your shit.
The Dark Zone is a very, very interesting place. I haven't gone in there myself because I've been playing solo. And my experience from the Dark Zone in the first game is you don't want to go in there solo because people will just come in and just shrek you and you lose all your shit.
Yeah, just the normal AI enemies there can fucking wreck you too. Just FYI.
The Dark Zone is interesting because it's PvE VP. Because you go in, you fight NPC bosses, you take their shit, and then there's like an extraction helicopter that you have to put your stuff on. But the thing about that is once your stuff is on the extraction helicopter, other people can come in and wreck you and take that shit, and then they can extract it.
Yeah, so you have a 1 minute timer.
Yeah, it's very tense when you see other people in the Dark Zone because you don't know if they're going to fuck with you or if they're going to try to take your shit or if they're going to help out against the boss. So it's very Sea of Thieves in that sense.
Yeah, speaking of Sea of Thieves, we've been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves lately. We streamed a bunch this weekend, and we had a little bit of a run-in the other day. We did the last podcast, we were talking about not doing that cursed sales fucking event, because me and Cole thought we were going to get wrecked, so we didn't do it. But me, Dan, and Cole ended up doing it. This is a little off-topic from Division 2, but Cole, Dan, and I did it. And while we were fighting off fucking six different skeleton ships, we were also getting attacked by the Meg. So we defeated all the skeleton ships, and there was like a enormous amount of treasure in the water. And of course, the Megalodon's just fucking raping us. And we couldn't get the treasure. Like, you couldn't jump in the water without getting just mauled by sharks. It was super annoying. So yeah, a couple of annoyances like that this weekend.
But yeah, as soon as you guys jumped off today, the cursed sales event spawned.
Of course.
Fuck, yeah, of course it, yeah. Cole sent me a picture of a rowboat filled to the tits with captain's chests.
Oh, dude, I made like 22K right there.
What? How did you guys get all that?
He bought one of those mercenary quests that you kept saying that they're bullshit.
Well, I mean, of course.
Literally, it's like part four. We didn't even finish it. We had to give up because I had to do the podcast and Cole had to go to meet a friend to buy some beer.
Yep.
And literally, it was so loaded with treasure. Nothing but captain's chest.
Wait, okay,
so
where
each chest was like 1,000. And then we had like some art, like relics and other stuff that we picked up. It was insane.
Yeah, but what? Where did you find... Like, I dropped a mercenary quest before, and the loot wasn't any different than a normal quest.
I don't know. If we completed this one, this is one of those ones that gives you blue coins.
Right.
Okay. So we didn't complete it, unfortunately, but we still walked away with, like, 22,000 gold, so I'll take it.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. All right, well, I guess we'll do that next time. Well, I also want to do the curse sales event again because fucking, I was just a little salty that we couldn't get all that treasure. Me and Dan and Cole were like, just super choked.
Just watching it all sink and not be able to get any of it was so hard.
Yeah. Oh, and then on top of all that, we only got four things on our ship, and we kept jumping in the water and dying from all the sharks, and then it migrated servers, so all the treasure in the water just despawned.
You have a certain time.
Yeah. Well,
as someone that was watching your stream, I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I bet.
I bet.
I bet, yeah. Bradley. Yeah, Bradley's flaked out on us twice playing Sea of Thieves.
I took a nap. I'm sorry.
He took a nap, he says. And then today he was cleaning the house.
That was my first time playing.
Yeah. First time.
In a while.
In a while, yeah. Cool. Whatever. Bradley will play one day. It'll be fine.
So. Like if I'm on the skis.
Yep.
Cole wants me to play a lot more.
Yeah, I
knowing him, it'll just be like Pokemon Go. He got me back into that. He'll get me into Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, just looking at some pictures from the Division 2, it kind of looks almost post-apocalyptic-ish.
It very much is, because it does take place after a virus wipes out like a good chunk of the population. So, right. The streets become overgrown again. There's actually something cool they added. The streets feel a lot more alive because you'll be running along and there'll be a deer that will just fucking dart through, like knock over a traffic cone and run off. And it's just it's neat little things like that that really bring out the world.
Speaking of that, I was doing a contaminated building zone and there's a fucking deer on the roof. How the hell did the deer get on the roof?
Jumping, I guess. Parachute, maybe?
Security
blows.
It was
like 40 feet up. I had to climb a ladder. I had to scale the building, and I get to the top of the ladder, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shit, what's that? It's a deer.
Got up there somehow.
The security at the White House is shitting the bed hard, then. It's letting deer up there now? Fuck, you can't,
Coming back to your question about PvP as well, Rodney, there is actually a PvP mode called Skirmish.
Okay.
Which is 4v4 teams. They only have two modes right now. One is like a deathmatch, and one is a capture the point. I played a couple matches earlier, and I was actually surprised with how fun it was. I thought it was going to be stupid, but it actually, it's fun. I enjoyed it.
Is that where you go to like the matchmaking laptops?
Yeah, when you go to the matchmaking stations,
okay.
You'll into a group.
And I've seen them, but I wasn't brave enough to try them out yet. I felt like I was way too weak.
No, in all honesty, because it normalizes, right? So, won't be underpowered or overpowered.
You also use the matchmaking laptop to find groups just to do side missions or missions or even free roam.
Nice.
You're weak, Bradley. You're weak.
For now. We'll get him up there.
There is still a lot of problems with, like, there's still some small glitches with the game, especially the mods for your skills. They don't work at all.
Sorry, the mods for your skills don't work?
Yeah, so basically you have, like, we were talking, he said, like, hive, turret, drone, shield, stuff like that. You have these mods you can put into it. So I had, like, this one that was plus 12% duration to my turret. It didn't give my turret any more time. It stopped it from fucking going off completely.
Strange. Interesting. I noticed the Firefly, when the game first came out, had really bad tracking. I don't know if they fixed it or not, because I switched off of using it. I don't know about the skills not working, though. That's not something I've encountered.
No, the skills work. It's once you add a mod to it to make it better or stronger.
Did they just stop working?
Yeah, completely. Like, you know how your skill power goes up? You have mods that have, like, a required skill power before it's able to use, right? I have, like, one that's, like, plus 12% duration to my turret, but it requires at least 380 skill power. Well, I've got that. But the problem is, as soon as I attach that mod, the turret doesn't even go off. It just lands on the ground, and, like, the enemies just stomp on it.
That's shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a bug. I haven't.
It is. I looked it up. They're trying to fix it in the next patch.
Well, from what I've seen, they've been pretty quick about trying to fix shit. So hopefully they can work that out.
Yeah. Did you see in the news as well? In the first free update, they're introducing the 8-player raid.
That's gonna be bonkers.
That's kind of cool.
Play the raids in the first game?
I did one of them. Yeah.
yeah, the amount of skill work and integration you have to have with the other players for, I think it was a 6-man raid in the first game. Like, everyone had to know what their skills were, when to use them. You had to have weapon sets that complemented each other. I can only imagine how much more that's going to be in an 8-person raid.
I'm really excited for it, especially with the skills. Like the Hive, using the revive Hive. You know, you see like 3 teammates go down.
Get
one up while you with the Hive, and then pick up another one. So, but you're right; they're definitely going to have specializations of how, like, there's going to have to be healers. There's going to have to be damage, like full DPS. There's got to be people that can take the damage. So maybe a guy with a shield.
Yeah, you're basically going to have your traditional like MMO roles.
Yep.
But in the Division, which is going to be funny to see. I'm excited about it.
Oh yeah.
From my understanding, the special abilities you pick, like the turret and the shield and that, those are interchangeable in game. You don't have to go anywhere to do that, right?
No, you can take it, change them out whenever you want.
Yeah. Once you own them, you can switch them out.
Yeah. So I don't know if they do a Q role, because it'd be interchanging. You would have to just fill as you go. I don't think you would queue up as, I'm going to be the tank person. But
no,
you would have to be that kind of person.
Yeah, as soon as you start, you're going to talk to everyone and kind of figure out whose role is going to play what. Like, I like sniping, right? So I'm not going to be front line. I'm definitely going to be in the back trying to pop headshots.
But the problem that where that's going to come in is you are going to have to kind of queue up a role, because if you have armor sets that are based off of a specific thing, like let's say your armor is all add marksman damage, and then somebody says, oh, well, why don't you go tank? Suddenly your armor is not going to be beneficial in that sense compared to somebody that has, you know, the extra, 20% armor regeneration or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but I have a feeling because of how this game works is it's not going to have that type of queuing up. It's just going to be 8 people matchmaking.
Yeah.
You're going to literally jump into the game and your armor, you're going to jump into the game with whatever armor you're carrying. So someone can't just tell you to be the tank when you look at your gear and I have like, plus freaking headshot damage and marksman and, you know, better assault rifle stability.
Yeah, and that's where I was saying coordination is going to come into play, because you almost need a group of guys to do a raid with versus match. I don't know if they're going to be able to matchmake people and have it work.
Yeah. I bet you anything, though, it's going to come in difficulties just like Destiny does it, right? So there's going to be the normal, like the story, which, you know, shouldn't be too hard. It's just like the first couple people to do it, you know, or the first time you do it, that's always a learning curve for a raid, because the bosses always have a weak spot and something you have to exploit. So.
Yeah, I think it'll most likely be matchmaking. And I can see it being a lot of trial and error of going, okay, no, we need 2 people with hives. No, we need 4 people with shields. We need to like change this up.
Yep.
Oh, definitely. I like having the Hive with the revive, because that even brings me up. As soon as I go down and that I still have a full power, it'll drop to the ground and just pick me up anyways.
Yeah,
I've been using that.
I didn't know that. One of my buddies at work actually told me that. He's like, yeah, you know, if you have the revive Hive equipped, it'll revive you. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't say that anywhere. Like, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It saved my ass countless of times. I'm surrounded by like 3 enemies. They drop me. But before they have a chance to finish me, my friends start distracting them. And then I just pop up and boom, boom, boom.
for questing or leveling, it's really handy, too. Because if you just make one mistake and die in a side mission or something on the boss, you're able to get yourself back up and kind of reset.
Yeah, get a second chance.
You know what? Yellow bosses are easy to kill, but they're also the ones that hit the hardest. The guys with the axe.
The sledgehammer guys, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can dodge roll them, no problem, but if they actually hit you, it's a one down. Like,
yeah. They're definitely bosses you have to pay attention to compared to some of the other ones, like the sniper bosses or whatever.
That was pretty bad. The flamethrower is really bad as well. Because once I'm on fire, I'm already like trying to run around to put it out. And if they're still hitting me, it's not going out and I'm taking damage.
Cool, man. Sounds like a fun game. Maybe do you have it for Xbox, Will?
I have it for PS4, but, you know, who knows? You know me, I always will buy a game again
on
another
Xbox
system.
Well, I was going to say, if you have it for Xbox, you should just lend it to me and I'll play it. And then I'll trade you for Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
But
I bought it for PlayStation. Depends. If you guys play it more often, then I might pick it up for Xbox. But I got so many games on the go.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? I want to play more Apex because I've been really enjoying that that game so far. Bradley's played way more than me in terms of the Battle Pass being released last week.
I love Apex.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about how the game's been the last week, Bradley, with the Battle Pass and Octane in the game.
Octane in the game kind of mixed things up a little bit. It adds a character that's really, really, really quick. The guy can just move, and you can see him and be like, oh, he's right there, and the next thing you know, he's behind you. So it keeps you on your toes. The Battle Pass, I'm a little disappointed. I think majority of people are a little disappointed. It has some cool features. It gets you really nice skins, but to level it up, it takes more to level up the level 1 to level 2 than it does for me to get from like level 20 account to 21 account, which I don't understand why.
Yeah,
the experience is so high.
I found that it's 18,000 experience pretty much across the board to level up. For like level 1 to whatever, like it doesn't matter if it's level 1 to 2 or level 35 to 36, it's still 18,000 to level up. But yeah, you're right, the Battle Pass had like 39,000 experience required to level up.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. And they also have it's 82 days left on the Battle Pass right now. Like, it's a long time that pass is going to be around before they bring out a new one. And I was also a little disappointed in seeing that. But I guess a little relieved, because it's going to take forever to actually get to tier 100.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you basically got to live, breathe, and sleep Apex, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be... I kind of want
to... The other thing I didn't really like about the Battle Pass, too, is if you look in the premium version that you have to pay the extra for, they have, like, experience boosters for the Battle Pass. So they're basically encouraging you to try to get that bigger Battle Pass, which I kind of don't like. I feel like the experience booster should come in the basic one, too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep, 100%. But, like I said, I'm enjoying the game so far. Bradley and I played for, like, an hour and a bit last night, so that's pretty much my experience with the Game Pass, but it's been a lot of fun. Will, have you been basically just playing Div 2 and haven't touched Apex in a while, eh?
I basically only play games on the weekend right now.
Yeah. For sure. But, yeah, so Bradley and I played a game last night. We did really good, and then we just got caught between a rock and a hard place, literally. And then died. Yeah, I mean, you had 4 kills each, and there was only, like, 13 squads left. Like, we were killing it.
But it's a lot of fun. I recommend it for anyone that likes first-person shooters. If you have a buddy or two, just jumping around and playing it, it's great.
Yeah.
And the revive mechanic in it is very helpful. Like, the fact that you can, if I die, and Rodney stays alive, he can just kind of bring me back into the game.
Yeah.
I think all battle royals need that.
Yeah, especially on Apex sells itself on being a very team-focused game, whereas Fortnite is like, you know, whatever you kind of feel like that day, if you're playing solo or, you know, unibuddy or squads or whatever. But what I really like about Fortnite's Battle Pass is that you can see a roadmap of your unlockables. So you're like, oh, I just need to keep playing and I can get to level whatever 58 of the Battle Pass and I get this cool item that I want. Whereas with Apex, it doesn't really show you what you're looking forward to.
It does, but it's not as nice.
Yeah.
You have to go to the Battle Pass section and you can see the whole tier along the bottom, but it's not as fancy as Fortnite's is, where it actually shows you like the full skin or
yeah.
I don't know, it's not as clean as Fortnite. It's really good Battle Pass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think if they nerf the amount of experience you need to level up, I think that would be better. I think it should be roughly the same as your actual level, like maybe even like maybe 20,000 experience would be somewhat feasible, but I don't think 39 or 38 or whatever it was fucking good.
I honestly think it should be tiered, like level 1 and up. Like, it should always get easier or harder and harder as you level.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Fortnite is. It's it's the first couple levels are really easy. You're gonna get like one day of playing, I can get to level 14, but then the next day playing, I maybe only get to level 18. I feel like I'm grinding so much and getting nowhere in Apex.
Yeah. Well, fuck if you can stay alive. The biggest problem I have with Apex, I've said this before, but it's just like you land and you'll go through four buildings and you won't find a gun. You'll find like optics out the wazoo and fucking shield cells and shit you don't need. Like right away, you need a goddamn gun. So, yeah, that's the frustrating part. So, you know, you'll play 3, 4, 5 games where you land and you don't find a gun, or you find, you know, like the shittiest of shitty guns, and then they'll just take.
I'm drawing a blank on the streamer, but there was a streamer that was a huge Apex streamer, and he's now done playing Apex because of the loot. He's arguing that the loot drop and the loot mechanic is broken and needs to be addressed. So he went back to Fortnite, but I can't remember who it was. I apologize.
Yeah, that it is kind of broken in a way. Like when you, especially crates, when you open a crate, like it's pretty much RNG anyway. But you know, depending on how far you're into the game, like if it's the very beginning, it should like basically 100% always spawn a weapon. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a fucking really good weapon, but it could be a pistol or something, just something.
Yeah, they need to up the algorithm a little bit to at least have, like, one weapon per area, per building, or whatever.
Yeah, like I said in the last podcast, when you open a chest in Fortnite, it, like, 100% always has a weapon, and 100% always has, like, some sort of healing item of some variety, like a big pot or bandages or something, and then it has ammo and one other thing. Like, every time you open a chest, it's always got one of those items.
It's a weapon, ammo, build, you get 30 build, and one utility item. So whether or not it's like a dynamite, heal, impulse grenade, you always get those four things out of every chest.
Yeah, so, they need to figure that out. Like, there's a couple things that Fortnite is still doing better than Apex for sure, but I mean, Apex just feels more organic to play, I think.
Yeah, it's got a better feel to it, and I think a lot of that has to do with the bullet dynamics and the way they work between the two games.
Yeah, Fortnite definitely takes getting used to. When you play like a ridiculous amount of Fortnite and then go play any other FPS game, like I remember, I think me and Will were playing Fortnite and then we went back and played Halo. We're like, holy fuck, it was just a huge...
Ooh, that was hard.
Yeah, it was a hard learning curve for sure. So
I chime in a bit more on Apex and Fortnite, but I'm completely battle royaled out. I thought I liked Apex, and I do, but battle royals don't interest me at all anymore.
So when I play Apex, I don't really even think about it as a battle royale, really. Like, the obviously jumping out of the fucking ship and then going and trying to find a weapon, that's obviously battle royale-y. But once you've landed and got a couple of decent weapons and whatever, like it just feels like a standard game to me, really.
Not to me. I still feel like it's a battle royal because you can run into more than one team at the same time, and I don't know, I played too much Fortnite.
Yeah, there's a lot of Fortnite for sure for us, but anyway, so we got about 20 minutes left or so in the cast, so I wanted to talk about the Google news that dropped like the day after our podcast from last week. So the Google
Stadia.
Yeah, so what do we all fucking think about that shit?
Well, for one, it's not a console, it's a platform.
Yeah.
But it's they've gone one step further in a sense, because obviously, I'm going to use Nintendo as an example. So Nintendo's basically was dominating the console market up until basically the Xbox and the PlayStation came out. So then they had to find a way to dominate the market in some other capacity. So they changed to mobile gaming, which is like the DS and the Game Boy Advance and all that kind of stuff. They were dominating the mobile market. And then they tried to dominate... they're trying to move over into the mobile market because everybody has a phone and it'd be really accessible for everyone to play a Nintendo game. So that's pretty much what Google's doing, is they're making it very accessible to play very high quality games basically in your browser.
Yeah, but it's basically just a streaming service. Same thing as Steam. The only difference is Google is promising that they're going to have their own first party game, so that means they have their own developers.
The thing I like about Stadia, and this is a big thing that's turned me off about PC gaming for a long time, is if my rig isn't up to snuff, I'm not going to be able to play, you know, AAA titles. If my rig is 5 years old, you know, and the new Assassin's Creed comes out or something, I might not be able to play that based off of my hardware. With Stadia, there is no hardware, so that's never going to be an issue. So you're going to always be able to play the best games coming out because everything's processed on their end.
I don't know. I think it's still going to act as the same thing as Steam, where it's going to have PC requirements.
I don't necessarily see why it would, though, because all you're doing is playing a video, right? It'd be like opening like a YouTube video. Obviously, it's more complicated than that. But they even did a demo on the stage where they said, we went out and bought the cheapest PC we could. Like, they basically went to Best Buy and bought a bargain PC, and they were still able to play it at, you know, 60 frames per second, 4K. And that's something I think is cool, because that's turned me off from PC gaming for a long, long, long time. So I'm interested for that reason.
Hard to say, because I know about PCs and stuff like that, and even with it just being a streaming platform, maybe your computer not so much, but your monitor at least has to be able to handle that graphical power.
Sure. I if I have to go out and buy, let's say, a decent monitor, maybe what, $300?
More like $5,000-$7,000.
Okay, so I have to go out and buy.
It depends. If you want a 4K monitor, you're looking at, yeah, like $700.
Okay, but versus having to upgrade my full GPU, you know, having to get a new GTI every 3 years, having to get RAM to run to process, you know, PCs are not cheap.
No.
PCs are not cheap.
But the question is, how many developers are actually going to flock to Google for a brand new streaming service where they still have consoles and Steam?
They have 100 developers right now, is what they said.
But they didn't say what they were working on.
Exactly.
That's true. But they have, we know they have Doom, the new Doom game. We know that they have two PlayStation execs on their team, and the Ubisoft, the girl that helped create or helped produce Assassin's Creed's on the team.
Yeah, Jade Raymond. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know that they're, like, I'm not worried about the games or that. Like, they have enough money, they have enough pull. If you throw some of these producer or these developers and say, hey, we're going to fund you a shit ton of money to make a game for our system or our streaming service, they're going to get people. I don't think that's the concern. I'm more concerned about, like, will it run as smooth as they say? Is it going to be as easy as it is to jump on your phone or your computer or your TV?
I think it's only, you need that controller, it said.
No, you can use any device. The controller just helps with it, right?
Sure? I see. It said on the thing that the controller was a requirement.
Nope. You can use mouse and keyboard. You can use any peripheral you already got.
Yeah, they said the one part of the video they said that you can play it anywhere on any device at any time. That was kind of their slogan. Like, I'm more concerned of the promises they made. Is it feasible? And not even just, like, I live in a city, I have good internet connection. Right. What if I'm out in the country? Is it going to be shitty? Is this going to be a useless system or useless service to me because I live where I live? Or is it capable to be run anywhere?
That's the thing. At 60 frames per second, you're definitely going to need at least, like, the top-of-the-line internet.
That's my concern.
That's what I was going to bring up. I was just waiting for an opportunity to talk, but... if you have a shitty internet connection, what the fuck's the point of having a 4K monitor and all that kind of shit? Your internet won't be able to handle the bandwidth of streaming 4K to your monitor, to your computer, basically.
No, not at, it says, what is it here? Play at 4K resolution with 60 frames per second refresh rate available on a relatively modest 30 megabytes per second connection. But we both know, like, 30 megabytes per second is modest, but that's a constant connection.
Yeah, right. So if you live in the middle of fucking nowhere, you might as well not bother getting a 4K anything.
Yeah.
But unless... I mean, the same could be said for regular PCs, right? If you're playing mm-hmm. any kind of multiplayer, mm-hmm. like if you're playing CSGO or something like that, what's the point of having a fucking decent rig, right? Because your internet's going to be shit anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Most people have it all hardwired in. I had my PC hardwired in until I moved to the garage. Now it's on Wi-Fi, which fucking blows. But, you know, I'm making it work.
One of my other things, just on the flip side, if this is a successful, and let's say they hit the ground running, they have everything going, it blows people away. What does that do to the computer industry? Like, if you could pay Google for their service and not have to pay multi-thousand dollars to get a top-rate computer, why would you even bother getting a top-rate computer?
This is true.
So
very true.
Yeah.
Who on that side is going to flip out? Like, are you going to see companies that build gaming or graphics card go, hey, no, don't support this? Like, are they going to get them cheaper so they can compete and have people actually buy their hardware again?
Well, but here's the thing is, like, for example, low budget airlines, when you, like, what the hell do we have out here, Will? Like, some cheap ass airline, you can get, like, a $200 ticket from here to Ontario. And, eventually the big airliners like WestJet and Air Canada squeeze them out because they're making them lose business. But the thing with this particular scenario is no one can squeeze out Google. They're fucking Google. They're god of fucking everything. So we might be seeing a new direction of gaming. But on the flip side of that...
They could lose developers.
Yeah, but here's the other thing is they're kind of making... They're making their own first-party games, but when you play with Google Stadia... There's going to be games that you just can't play on Google Stadia, so you'll still have to either buy the PC or buy the console or whatever. So right, so like Halo's.
That's
never
what
gonna
I
be,
mean. Like, yeah. Not all the developers are going to flock to Google.
But
enough. No, it wouldn't be right away.
It's going
to
be
hard to say.
It's going to be an interesting E3. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, right.
It will be. Yeah, and it's out later this year. But no one saw a date, right? Like, I didn't miss that.
They said
no.
2019, they said they would update in summer.
Yeah. Okay.
For Stadia, you mean?
Yeah,
for Stadia.
Okay, cool. So, I'm wondering if we should make a shirt that says all the way, halfway, 1 inch.
I am down. Fuck
but
that.
What fucking graphic would we use for that?
I
don't know. Think about it.
Why don't we, ask the Discord, see if they can draw something out for us.
Oh, man. Yeah. That Paradox is fucking hilarious on the Discord.
Shout out to Paradox.
Hello, Paradox. So, Video Game Now fans, if you want to join an excellent community of gamers / comedians, apparently, join our Discord. You can find our link on our website at videogamesnow.ca. And also, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, that means you're not a Patreon supporter. We have one lucky gentleman who's a Patreon, so he gets access to the Video Games Now podcast one day early. And there's a couple of other perks on there as well. You can check it out at our Patreons, patreon.com/videogamesnow, I believe. So you can find that link on our website as well if you're not sure. So, after this cast is over, we should definitely add the poll of the week on our Facebook page. What graphics should we use for all the way, halfway, 1 inch?
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's funny.
That's just that quote is now, like, forever engraved in Video Games Now history. We just got to insert that wherever we can. Like, that's like the new that's what she said joke. Just.
Deal. I like it.
All right. We'll slip it into, like, every podcast we do from now on.
Yeah.
Find a way. It'll find a way.
So, but anyways,
changing the topic a little bit, tomorrow and Tuesday there is two small conferences. Tomorrow it's PlayStation's State of Play at 2 p.m. and Tuesday it is Microsoft Indies conference online. I don't remember what time that is though.
Sorry, another Nintendo Direct thing?
No, Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft. Okay.
It's Microsoft's indie event, but the one for PlayStation tomorrow is their State of Play that they do, right. And they're promising new game reveals and new trailers.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I think we're going to get little secret kind of conferences like this, especially leading up to E3, because
everyone's going to have way too much to announce, especially I have a feeling this is the year, at least maybe not the release, but we'll get teases for the next generation of consoles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's the Microsoft guy's name? Something Spencer?
Phil Spencer.
Phil Spencer. I wanted to call him Zach Spencer. I'm like, nah, that's the weather guy on our fucking TV news. But Phil Spencer is going to walk on a stage looking like the most arrogant asshole ever because he just basically owns E3 this year. I can just see his fucking smirk, just like,
look at this stage just for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he won't have
Microsoft to be contender. They need a lot this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a fairly good job last year announcing 50 upcoming games and acquiring 5 studios. Like, they did do a lot last year, but I think just the way it was presented, it wasn't impressive enough compared to the other two.
No, but this year, like, the one thing Microsoft and, not Microsoft, Sony and Nintendo both have on Microsoft is exclusives and first-party games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft needs to go back and, you know, go back to their beginnings.
Yeah.
That's what made the first Xbox so great, is they had these great only Xbox games.
Yeah, what drove us to buy an Xbox in the first place?
My PS3 got stolen. And before that, the Blu-ray laser blew out. So at that point, I was like, no, I'm done. I'm going to try something else.
Shot a laser beam through its motherboard, just commit suicide.
Commit seppuku.
That's funny. What about you, Will? Well, you just buy everything.
I buy everything, so I think I haven't missed a console. I was like, did I buy that at launch? Did I buy that? No, I did. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a 6K, so I mean, I wasn't poor, but my parents just didn't fucking buy all the shit that I wanted. So I had a...
How dare.
I know, how dare them. Actually, let me tell this story on the podcast now. I told it on while I was streaming, but... So, I got a text from my mom yesterday when I was streaming. I'm just trying to pull it up here quickly. Okay, so... She said, Yahoo, Dad and I had to go to the casino to cash in our Lotto Max. We were one number away from retiring. I'm like, fuck, that's crazy. So anyways, I called her up and asked her how much she won, which I won't share because that's none of anyone's business except mine. She's quite choked. My parents are quite lucky. Actually, sorry, my mom is quite lucky. Like, she'll go to the casino and just win $1,000 a month somehow. Or she's won the $10,000 jackpot twice. It's like, can you fucking shove that fucking genie my way? Yeah, like, fuck. So
my uncle, before he passed away in the early 2000s, he won the P&E out here is like an amusement park that's a fall type thing. It's only available for like 3 weeks, but he won the prize car 3 times, and he won the $50,000 from a casino, and he got the car from the casino as well.
Jeez,
damn,
he's fucking loaded, eh?
Oh yeah.
Or was, sorry. Anyways, so I was waiting for you to say something kind of smart, but never came. Anyways, so I think that'll be it for today. We're talking about how much money other people have won that aren't us.
A way to wrap it.
My luck's not that good.
No, my luck sucks ass.
I haven't even won a freaking coffee this year from Timmy's.
Dude, Tim Hortons is just raping and pillaging like harder than anybody in Sea of Thieves ever did.
We need to take a token from them and fucking learn from them, because I think we're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you know what? My honest opinion, like, it's going to sound like a conspiracy theory or whatever the fuck, but like, I think that they just say, you can win a car, or you can win a trip, and then they don't actually fucking... like give anything away. They just like pay actors to like look excited on the TV that they won fucking something.
Yeah. One of the bodybuilders I pay attention to on YouTube and a couple other things, Furious Pete, he bought 2,000 cups of coffee to see what he could win.
Yep.
Nothing but coffee and donuts.
What the fuck?
And he went like all over Toronto, like all over, like spent a week going to all these different Timmy's to make sure he had like different ones from each one. And that's all he got.
And that's another myth, too, is they always ship the winners to the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, and you would think Toronto.
I heard that they ship the... I heard that it was how much money you put into the program is where they'll ship the better cups. So if you have a local Timmy's that is really profitable and the owner wants to make it better, then they can pay for the better cups.
What? That's fucking dirty.
That's what I heard at one point, and that was like 2 years ago. Someone from... one of the local Tim Hortons that just opened up when they started working for them there, that's what they told me. They're like, oh yeah, we have really good cups here. Because I won like 7 times out of 10 at this one Tim Hortons, and I asked them, I'm like, why am I winning so much? He goes, oh, the owner, he was really trying to promote this place because it's new. He bought the better cups. And I was like, what are you talking about?
There's tiers of cups?
I don't know how true that is. I don't know how true that is, but someone from Timmy's told me, and I was like, huh. That's kind of bullshit.
I'm gonna have to have a talk with my Tim Hortons manager.
Yeah, no shit.
I got a bridge now. I want to sell you, Bradley. If you believe that.
Well, they should make it so that they publish who wins, and then you can actually phone them and be like, did you actually win, or are you a fucking actor?
Well, I mean, probably if they're getting paid for it, they can tell you that they want it, right?
Yeah. But you don't really see... who wins these things? You know what I mean? Like, if I won a car via Tim Hortons Roll Up the Rim, I'd be posting that shit over social media like a motherfucker. I'd be promoting the shit out of that. So you don't see them marketing that way. Like, oh, so-and-so won a car. You should come to Tim Hortons and try to fucking win
your own. They should have it on their website. That's what I mean. I think it's fake.
I think it's fake as shit. It's just a stupid promotional fucking thing. Like, you know what?
The other thing I have to say to that is in my town that I grew up in, there was somebody that won a Tim Hortons car because they had a big-ass banner that they got to put in their front yard that said, hey, I'm winner, and it listed the number that they were, and they had their shiny-ass new car right in the front yard. And they're not an actor. I can tell you that much.
All right. Maybe they want to be, but they're not.
Yeah. That was maybe the one instance of somebody actually winning it.
Yeah. Yeah, the one person in 20 years since Roll Up the Rim started that's won a car.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody else.
Going for another 20 without giving anything away.
Yeah. Yeah, I've probably drank... I mean, I only bought actually 2 coffees. The rest were bought for me. But I've only won... Nothing. I haven't won anything. I've won a lot of Play Again, like 20 of them. So
I have a coffee every morning, and I haven't won anything this year.
Fucking bullshit. Their coffee's not even that good either, so I'm so fucking choked. The coffee I make at home is
better. McDonald's has gotten better. I like McDonald's coffee more.
McDonald's been better for like 10 years. But
and every 7 coffees, you get a free one. I mean,
yeah, you get a free one.
That's a guaranteed win.
I've won more free coffees from McDonald's than I have from Tim Hortons. So, all right, anyways, let's wrap this up here. So thanks a lot, guys, for listening. Definitely join our Discord, full of friends and family with video game interests. So join us there. You can find the link on our website, and you can also join our Facebook page and Twitter, and join all the community things that we do, streaming and videos and all that nonsense. All right, Kate, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Later, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.